Let the Galaxy Burn. Narrated by a Border Prince. The Lives of Ferreg Lionwolf by Barrington J. Bailey. Ferreg Lionwolf, champion of Zench, ruler of five worlds, rose from the slab of sparkling white alabaster on which he slept and prepared to receive his honoured visitor. Young maidens bathed him, anointing his body with pleasant-smelling oils so that he gave off an enchanting aroma. The same slave girls dressed him in garments of shimmering heliotrope silk, decorated all over with the sinuous symbols of the greatest of the gods, and accoutred him with his weapons. When they had finished, an officer wearing the uniform designed for the palace staff by Ferreg himself entered and bowed, waiting for permission to speak.
"The chariot of Lord Quellel has been sighted entering our planetary system, my great and gracious lord," the officer announced,
once Ferreg had impatiently signalled him to continue.
"It will arrive within the hour."
"And is everything ready?"
"All has been made ready, my great and gracious lord."
"Good," Ferreg purred.
He dismissed the officer, then turned to examine himself in a full-length mirror. He could not help but be pleased by what he saw. Ferreg Lionwolf had always been a striking figure, even before he found favour with the Changer of the Ways, to give the great god Zench just one of his many titles. Rugged, strong and handsome, Ferreg had earned the admiration of all on his homeworld, as well as on the many worlds where he had fought and adventured before becoming a champion of chaos. But now, Ferreg was almost beside himself as he beheld the magnificent transformation wrought on him by the great conspirator's marks of favour. In place of his left arm was a powerful flexible tentacle with twice the reach. His right foot was a scrabbling claw, particularly exciting to behold, as it so much resembled the claw of Chikamazan Sanoro, or the Feathered Lord, the rank of demon closest to Zench himself. An extra pair of eyes was set in his forehead, above the others but close together, giving his face a curiously watchful appearance, like the face of a lurking spider. Those eyes could look into someone's mind and see if plots were being laid there. They could also kill with a single, baleful glance. His mouth was also changed. It could pucker into a long tube, half the length of his arm, with which to suck pure magical energy from the souls of others. Zench had given him power and change, and this was not the end of the rewards he was to receive. Ferreg made a magical sign, causing a shimmering oval surface to appear in the air, looking like a vertical pool of water, or maybe quicksilver. With his forefinger, he traced runes in the dark tongue, which could only be spoken in the warp. The runes spelled out his chaos name, so recently bestowed upon him by his greater demon patron. And with another gesture, he dissolved the writing screen. And now to enter Qualalil. Ferreg strode from the lofty ceiling chamber and on to the spacious balcony overlooking the extensive palace. Looking round him, and, as always, taking immense satisfaction in his accomplishments, he was ruler of an entire planetary system within the Imperium of Chaos, called by outsiders the Eye of Terror. Five of the system's eight planets were inhabited. Several billion beings all lived in dread, in obedience, in utmost respect and adoration of Ferreg Lionwolf. Ferreg had designed his palace to resemble what he imagined the heavenly palaces of Zench and his feathered lords to be like. Tier upon tier of terraces rose to the cloud layer, sparkling and glowing in iridescent colours. Towers and minarets and convoluted galleries twisted and twined like snakes. But none of it, of course, was restricted by gravity. The towers and galleries jutted out at crazy angles, as if they had been constructed in space, or, as was the impression Ferreg had striven to create, the vast unknowable reaches of the warp. His aides and guards gathered around him, It was time for Quellalil's chariot to arrive. A magnifier had been set up on the balcony. Through it, events in the upper atmosphere became visible, as though they were only a short distance away. So they were able to watch as the chariot from the neighbouring planetary system, an elaborate, burnished affair decorated with gold and silver curricles, appeared in the lemon-yellow sky and swooped through the upper air. Driving for the cloud layer, it descended towards the palace. Farag and his aides carefully watched the surrounding countryside, dotted with towns and villages whose privilege it was to share a landscape with their mighty ruler. Yes, there it was. The plot was afoot. Shark-like craft were hurtling over the horizon, three altogether, coming from different directions. In addition, from hidden places near at hand, a dozen wild-looking figures mounted on flying discs were soaring upwards, long hair flying behind them, waving weapons. There was magic at work, or those discs would not be able to fly here. They were Keichiki Sonai, steeds of Zench, and their proper medium was the warp. Peering closely at the magnifier, Ferric could see the rows of teeth around their rims. Both shark craft and riders were converging on the interstellar chariot. Farag had a consummate sense of timing. He raised a hand, staying his aides who were ready to release a barrage and destroy the raiders. Instead, he allowed the raiders to get closer to their prey.
"Let me deal with this," Farag murmured in his melodious baritone voice.
When it seemed there could be no help for the descending foreign vessel on its state visit, he pointed with all five fingers of his right hand. The air became charged with power. It crackled. All present felt the waves of prickling sensation over their entire bodies. And from the fingers of Master Magician Farag Lionwolf, there issued a stream of raw magic, crossing the intervening miles instantaneously, sizzling, swaying, touching all three shark craft and the dozen disc raiders. For a brief moment, the great stream of energy flickered around them, and then, in that same moment, they shivered and were gone. Farag Lionwolf smiled knowingly. Lord Quellalil's chariot settled itself onto a marble landing bay further down the terrace. Farag and his party had already made their way there when the ornate door of the chariot swung open. Flamboyantly clad guards emerged and took up station on either side, glancing nervously around them. Lord Commander Quellalil stepped down from the threshold. Unlike Farag, he had never been a space marine, and so was much shorter in stature than the hulking Lionwolf. He wore a cloak of brilliant blue. His hands were small, with a shriveled, talon-like look. In place of a mouth, he had a compact, curved beak, turquoise in colour. A straw-coloured plume sprouted from the top of his otherwise bald pate. His eyes were round and unblinking, and seemed unable to stare in any direction but straight ahead. So that he looked about him continuously, with sudden, nervous movements.
"Lord Commander Quellalil," Farag greeted breezily, spreading arm and tentacle in welcome.
"My Lord Commander Farag."
Quellalil's voice was high and chirping. He allowed Farag to embrace him briefly, then stepped back to gaze at the palace around him. He was clearly impressed.
"I am happy to be able to protect you, my Lord Quellalil," Farag said. "It appears some of your enemies have gathered here."
Twittering laughter rose from Quellalil's throat. His eyes glittered.
"Yes, subversives from my own planet, who fled here some time ago. I knew this visit would flush them out. Why do you think I came here? You should be flattered, my Lord Farag, at the trust I have placed in you. My chariot is unarmed."
"I too have used the occasion to my benefit," Farag told him. "Your renegades could not have acted without help from some of my own subjects. They are now paying the penalty for their disloyalty."
He glanced at the surrounding countryside, taking pleasure in knowing of the death and torture being inflicted there.
"I have prepared a banquet for tonight," he continued to tell his guest. "You are particularly partial to human flesh, I believe."
Quellalil clacked his beak repeatedly in eager affirmation.
"Skin specimens have been marinating in spices for the past week. Tonight, they will be roasted for your delectation. Tomorrow, we will discuss a treaty between us. For the present, though, allow me to show you around my palace. But first... Ferrek raised arm and tentacle and swept them through the air, making magical passes. There came an immense rumbling sound. The huge edifice all around them was coming apart. Towers, terraces, galleries, halls, all separated and began gyrating in the air, performing a gigantic dance. The landing bay on which they stood also took part in the display, whirling lazily through a cloud and back again. Then, with meticulous precision, everything came together again. Stone, block met stone, block in silent harmony, mortar together as before. In seconds, the palace had reassembled itself. Qualalil trilled in feigned pleasure.
Most impressive, my Lord Ferrag, and if you will allow me in return.
He too made an elaborate sign with his hand. Further along the terrace, a jutted arcade detached itself, floating a short distance away into the ether, and then began spinning at speed. Qualalil made delicate pulling motions with his fingers. The minaret ceased spinning and returned to its place with a deep grinding of stone upon stone. There was a gentle murmur of approval from the assembled aides and retainers. It was common for Zenshin magicians to show off to one another on first meeting, but for all his chirpiness, the visitor could not hide the fact that he had been bettered by his host. Surreptitiously, Ferrag cast his guest a passing glance with his upper pair of eyes, not wanting Qualalil to see the dark flash that would show he was looking into his mind. It was as he had expected. Qualalil was not happy at being ruler of a mere one-planet system. He envied Ferrag his domains. The visit was but the first step in an elaborate, convoluted plan to take his place, stretching far into the future. Qualalil's brain was a maze of plot and counterplot, intricate to the point of madness. Which was as it should be in a champion of Zench, the great conspirator and master of fortune. Qualalil would not, however, see his plans come to fruition. Ferrag had laid a strategy to add his guest's planet to his own dominion. As for Qualalil himself, he would be disposed of as easily as one of the feeble humans he was about to feast upon. Ushering his visitor from the landing bay, Ferrag began conducting him through the great vaulted halls of the palace, pointing out feature after feature. But his mind was not on the task of being a tour guide. The promise made to him by his greater demon patron recently, given to him at the same time as his chaos name, had left Ferrag in a state of pure exaltation. It was not long, therefore, before he began talking instead of himself.
Know, my friend, that I have lived a most eventful life, even for one of our kind, he said seriously to Qualalil as they strode. Have you wondered at my name? Its meaning can tell you much about me. I was born on a primitive planet in the Imperium, outside of our chaos realm. Life there was dangerous. What few human beings there were knew only how to make tools and weapons of stone, and they had it hard. Among my people, one did not receive a permanent name at birth. One had to earn it as one grew to manhood. Now the Lion Wolf is the most fierce animal on that planet, standing twice the height of a human, with jaws that can crush a horse. Able to outpace the fastest runner, it could take 20 armed warriors to defeat it. When I was 8 years old, one of these beasts killed my father.
The reminiscence took his mind back. He was a naked boy, standing on the dusty scrubland of the world of his birth. In the sky was the looming globe of its smouldering red sun. Barely 10 paces away, the lifeless body of his father was being tossed back and forth in the jaws of a lion wolf. When the beast had come loping across the landscape towards them, they had both run for the protection of a rocky tor. But when he heard his father's stout timber spear clattering to the ground behind him, he had turned to witness the dreadful sight. The boy hesitated. While the beast devoured its prey, he could, perhaps, gain the summit of the tor and the fearsome animal might forget him. But it had killed his father. A screaming rage gripped him. He ran back and laid his hands on the spear.
It was almost too heavy for him to lift, but he raised its fire-hardened point and yelled at the fearsome lion wolf for all he was worth.
"You killed my father!"
The creature dropped the torn, mauled body and turned its massive face towards him, sniffing the air. He could smell its shaggy coat as it came towards him to investigate. He made jabbing motions with the spear, yelling and retreating. He was at the bottom of the tor now. The lion wolf gathered itself together and leapt. The boy stood his ground, determined to gain revenge for the death of his father. He jammed the butt of the spear in the crevasse in the rock and aimed the spear point at the jabbing jaws of the lion wolf as it sprang. The lion wolf had intended to bite off his head with one snap of its great teeth. Instead, the spear rammed itself down the beast's throat and bore the full impact of that huge body's momentum. Sprawled on the scrubland, the lion wolf struggled to extract the offending shaft, coughing up great gouts of blood. The boy gave it no chance to do so. On he came, pushing with all his might, pushing the spear down and down until he came within reach of those deadly claws. But by then, it was too late for the animal. The spear had entered its heart. Even so, the end was long coming. The lion wolf did not die easily. It writhed and thrashed as its lifeblood poured from its mouth, watched by the fascinated, exultant, grieving 8-year-old.
"So when the tribe gave me my permanent name," the Lord Commander Farag said to his guest, "in my native tongue, Farag means killer, so I was known as Killer of the Lion Wolf. I have retained the first word out of respect for my original people. No other warrior had ever borne such a name, for no one else had killed a lion wolf single-handed, and probably has not even now."
"A stirring tale," Lord Qualalil chirruped. "When did you become conducted into the Adeptus Astartes?"
"No more than 40 days later, a squad of Purple Star Space Marines landed near our village. They were told of my courage with the Lion Wolf. They tested me in every way, then took me back with them to their monastery. I served the Purple Stars for the next 20 years, learning all their ways, going on their campaigns as a scout, as a messenger, and in countless other roles. At the end of that time, I was judged fit to be transformed into a space marine. I was given the extra organs, the prognoid glands, the sacred gene seed. For 200 years, I served with the Purple Stars and saw more action than I could hope to relate. Eventually, rising to the rank of company commander, I particularly distinguished myself in a raid on a Tyranid hive ship." Once again, Farag Lionwolf found his mind regressing to the far past. A squad of Purple Star Space Marines was cutting a way through the shell of a vast, snail-like form, its motive power crippled by laser fire so that it had become separated from the High Fleet. None of them knew what to expect on the inside, and what they did find was nothing they could have expected. They were in a round tunnel, which pulsed and throbbed like a living organ, branching at irregular intervals. A huge, thumping sound was all around them, like the beating of a gigantic heart. The light was dim, blood red, and seemed to seep from out of the very walls themselves. Then, scrabbling down the tunnels, which were scarcely large enough to contain them, came the Tyranid warriors. Huge, bossed beasts, six-limbed, worse than the worst nightmare. Each head a mass of razor-sharp teeth, each front pair of limbs whirling twin swords that could cut straight through a space marine's armour. With horror, Farag saw his bolter shots bouncing off the Tyranid's armour, while his men were butchered around him. There was no chance of retreating to the assault craft. Then his mind flashed to the time he had fought the Lion Wolf as a boy, and he took heart at the memory. He drew his chainsword in his left gauntlet. Sparks flew as he parried the Tyranid bone swords, as he later came to know them. This enabled him to get in close, and the muzzle of his bolter went straight between the Tyranid's massed teeth.
The monster jumped, then slumped, as the bolt exploded inside its body. Farag let out a roar of laughter. He barked into his communicator.
That's the way to do it, men! That's the way to do it!
The heroic deed faded as Farag brought his mind back to the present.
The tactics I delivered on that day became standard for fighting the foul Tyranids at close quarters, he finished.
He paused for a moment.
Most warriors would be satisfied with such a life, I dare say. But I was not. The Imperium began to seem too confined for me. I wanted something grander, something to give scope to my abilities. In secret, I began to study the ways of magic. I knew, of course, that there had once been a great heretical war when fully half the original Space Marine legions took refuge in our Imperium of Chaos. I became attracted to the study of Zench, and eventually I did the unthinkable. I deserted my chapter and made my way here to devote myself to his service, he grinned.
And now I am his champion, commander of 5 worlds. It has been a glorious time. I cannot begin to regale you with my adventures, or say how long I have lived. In the Eye of Terror, a day is 1,000 years, 1,000 years is but a day, and time means nothing until death comes.
Your fame spreads far and wide, my lord commander, his guest cooed.
And so it should, Farag made a face. Do you know, my lord Qualilil, with what contempt I was treated at first? I am a space marine. Of the second founding, raised after the Horus War. The Chaos Legionaries are all of the first founding. They thought themselves harder, and me as soft and weak. Well, they soon learned their mistake.
Farag's hand slashed through the air. I have killed 35 traitor marines in hand-to-hand combat, 20 of them followers of Khorne, the Berserker Blood God, and 12 of those World Eaters, the most feared of all. There is no greater warrior than Farag Lionwolf. His voice dropped and became more conciliatory.
Forgive my boasting, my lord, but I only speak the truth.
Qualilil twittered, flattering laughter.
It is no boasting at all, my fellow champion. Why, you are too modest. You almost deprecate yourself. Everyone knows of your great victory at the Bowl Planet.
Yes, Farag grinned.
It was one of his most beloved memories, perhaps his greatest exploit since coming to the Eye of Terror. A great army had been assembled, an unholy alliance between the forces of Khorne, the Blood God, and Nurgle, the great lord of disease and decay, also Zenshi's most implacable enemy. The battle had been fought in a planet shaped like nothing so much as a shallow bowl, governed by its own special physical laws. It was, in fact, possible to fall off the rim of this bowl and into some inescapable hell. Farag had commanded a much smaller Zench force. At first sight, the twin hordes looked invincible. The Khorne core of Chaos Space Marines had drenched themselves in blood before the battle even began, butchering their own mass soldiery and driving them towards the enemy. As for the Nurgle horde, a vast, filthy Chaos demon, a great unclean one, had been at its head, and he had come up with a special tactic. The million-strong army had been rotted with amoeba plague. Its soldiery were no longer separate individuals, but combined into one sticky, putrid mass which came rolling on, engulfing everything in its path. Against all this, Farag had only the special strengths of Zench, a strategy and sorcery. It had been a battle of titanic proportions. The bowl world had glowed and seethed with magical forces for months. But in the end, it was Farag's tactical genius that had won the day. The vile hordes of Khorne and Nurgle had been driven over the planet's rim to go toppling into eternal hellworld. Farag had gathered together what survived of the planet's original inhabitants and given them a generations-long task to erect in the middle of the bowl a monument to Zench that towered above the rim itself. It was no wonder when he looked back over his life that the changer of ways appreciated his services. Fervor was about to reward him with the greatest possible fulfillment. His greater demon patron, appearing before him in person, had informed him that he was to receive the ultimate gift. He was to become a demon prince. He would be immortal, no longer subject to death, able to live forever in the heavens of the warp. But there was still his guest. Almost reluctantly, Farag Lionwolf returned his attention to the tour of inspection.
Step this way, my lord Qualalil. There is a most delightful aerial esplanade through here.
They walked under an ornate archway, through which shone the lemon-coloured sky. Farag Lionwolf heard a grating sound overhead. Looking up, he saw that a block of stone had dislodged itself from the masonry and had begun to fall. In that instant, it occurred to him that perhaps this was the section of the palace upon which Qualalil had demonstrated his magic. But whether this was so or not, Farag had no time to act. The stone block struck his head with great force, knocking him unconscious. He recovered his senses in what seemed like a split second. He was standing on dusty scrubland, naked except for a rag made of woven grass tied loosely around his waist. A vast, murky red sun hovered near the horizon, producing a lurid sunset. A circle of a dozen men stood around him. They were all looking at him with a sort of avid expectancy. He looked back, searching one face after another, utterly bewildered. Until the change came, sweeping through his mind in an unstoppable rush. The memory of another life flooded into his mind, the life he had really lived, not the life of the surgically adapted, battle-hardened ex-space marine he had thought himself to be, or of the glory-drenched champion of Zench, who, for uncounted centuries, had faithfully served his master. He was not a warrior at all. He had never left his native planet. His name was not even Killer of the Lionwolf. He never could have earned such a name, not even as a man, let alone as a boy. He was known as Ulf Dirtcreeper, and he was acknowledged by all to be puny physically and a coward morally. But he did belong to a Zench coven. He had an aptitude for lying, cheating, and low cunning, for which the worshippers of the Change God found uses. Now, however, he had been found wanting. It was a small matter, really. He had been sent to murder a man in his sleep, an enemy of the coven, also his sister's husband, and he had been unable to find the courage. Now he stood condemned. Condemned to end his life as a chaos spawn. But because he had been of service in the past, Zench had rendered him a final gift. In the last instances before he descended into mindlessness, he had been allowed to stand at the end of a completely different life, one of glory and power. Of course, he could not be allowed to retain the delusion to the end. That would be unzenchian. The cruel truth had to be revealed. The coven leader was intoning a formula, redolent of untold power, in a high-pitched voice. Ulf Dirtcreeper felt a horrid crawling sensation within him. He whimpered and flailed miserably. Despite himself, his body bent double. His hands touched the earth and became flat. Flappy feet. He felt his face swelling into a round, ridiculous travesty of anything thought of as human. His mouth elongated into a long, narrow tube, not for drawing magical force out of his adversaries, but for sucking up the worms and grubs which were to be his only food from now on. The awful mutation continued, playing out before the disgusted yet fascinated gazes of his fellow cult members. Then, Ulf Dirtcreeper recalled having heard, so long ago now, another name for Zench, the Great Betrayer. Sometimes, instead of the promised spiritual reward, would come the greatest betrayal of all. Not Demon Prince, but... A burning question seized his petrified mind in the scant moments before it descended into gibbering insanity. Who was he really? Ulf Dirtcreeper or Farag Lionwolf? Which one is true? Which one is true? Thanks for watching, everybody. I hope you enjoyed this. Please remember to give the video a like and subscribe if you're not subscribed. And stay tuned for more. It's coming up. And if you'd like to support the channel, use the links below. All right. Thanks very much. Bye.